to Pilot Points, a podcast specifically designed for turbine pilot issues. This session is made possible by CA View Companies. I encourage you to go to their website and check out their performance calculator, EFP Pro. It's the only corporate aircraft calculator that addresses all the issues we discuss here on Pilot Points. And as I've said before, once you start digging into these performance issues, you'll come to appreciate fairly quickly that a good calculator is far more than just a convenience. It's a major safety device that you would be hard-pressed to duplicate by hand. Well, welcome back to Pilot Points. Recently, I received a call from a Fortune 500 company's chief pilot. He related to me an ongoing debate between pilots within his department. Apparently, the AFM was totally silent on the issue, and some of the pilots were advocating the idea of increasing the safety margin of so-called slippery runway departures by reducing V1 to some lower value, what they refer to as V1 min. The discussion within his department was literally a collage of, on the one hand, this will happen, and on the other hand, that will happen. It seems to me that the entire issue boils down to one of risk. So throughout this session, I'll be referring to several graphs from my book, Aircraft Performance Myths and Methods. Now, the only way I know of to describe a line graph with a radio is to relate the shapes of the lines on the graphs to commonly recognized shapes. Take a person's nose. With a person lying on their back, the outline of the nose starts to slope up, then levels off, then slopes down. Hopefully, this is a suitable mental image that will allow you to recall these principles later. So let's get into this. There are four possible scenarios that can occur, both desirable and undesirable, that reveal the extreme outcomes of adopting a V1 min procedure. Each scenario has two conditions, a V1 value and the point at which the engine fails. The first scenario occurs with the V1 value determined by the AFM, which I'll refer to as V1 normal from here on out, and the engine failing prior to V1 normal, but too late to abort. Notice on the graph that risk increases slowly with the normal acceleration up to engine failure. The risk is increasing due to the accelerating speed. After engine failure, the risk increases more rapidly due to several factors: an even higher speed, thrust asymmetry, the prospect of acceleration to a liftoff speed on one engine, and the lack of pilot reaction or control input at this point. As the pilot reacts by continuing the takeoff, and because the effects that contribute to a possible runway overrun have already been factored into the V1 normal value, risk begins to subside as V rotate is approached. As the aircraft obtains rotation speed and continues to accelerate to V liftoff, a normalization of risk begins to take effect, such that it is clearly seen that the aircraft is in a safer state than immediately after the engine failure. Believe it or not, this is the worst-case scenario when utilizing AFM calculations, an engine failure just before V1 normal. The risk curve is like the outline of a normally shaped nose. The next scenario is one where V1 is moved earlier. We'll call it V1 early, and the engine failure occurs at the same point as in the first scenario. In the first scenario, the engine fails too late to abort and the takeoff continues. In this scenario, engine failure occurs after V1 early, and thus the takeoff is also not aborted. However, unlike scenario 1, the risk continues to increase after V1 early because the V1 calculation did not factor accelerate go, accelerate stop, and takeoff distance. It was a guesstimate. This is test pilot country and associated with a higher risk than if V1 normal had been utilized, even though the takeoff continues under identical conditions. As engine failure occurs, the risk resumes the shape of the first scenario. The net difference in risk between scenario 1 and scenario 2 is a higher risk in scenario 2, but admittedly the difference is slight. The graph, again, is a normally shaped nose, but the bridge is ever so slightly higher. We now move on to scenario 3. We return V1 back to the AFM value, V1 normal, but this time engine failure occurs sooner, early enough that the takeoff can be aborted. The risk rises quickly after engine failure as in scenario 1, but at a slower rate since the engine failure occurs at a lower speed. After V1 normal, the first action to abort has already occurred and the aircraft is slowing. Risk diminishes rapidly to the extent that total risk is lower than scenario 1. A classic button nose graph and the best possible situation to be in under the circumstances. In the last scenario, V1 is moved once more to V1 early and prior to engine failure. Remember, engine failure occurs early enough to abort successfully as under scenario 3. So as V1 early is passed and the crew is committed to the takeoff, risk increases at the same rate as in scenario 2. But as engine failure occurs, risk increases dramatically and sooner than in scenario 2. The reason is that engine failure occurs so early that it is now not known if the aircraft can safely accelerate to rotation or liftoff. V-rotate and V-liftoff will occur farther down the runway because the aircraft is accelerating on one engine earlier in the takeoff roll. The risk curve is a very pronounced aquiline or Roman nose, like a guy who's been punched a few too many times. Remember, the AFM guidance would have been to abort after such an engine failure. The overall risk is significantly higher than in scenario 3. Exactly the opposite effect desired. The takeoff may not be successful or even be possible. While the idea of aborting a takeoff early is desirable, moving V1 to a value less than the calculated value actually commits the crew to continuing a takeoff that would have been safely aborted if V1 normal had been used. Also, there is no upside to the equation. Engine failures that could have been caught by using V1 early would have been equally caught using V1 normal. V1 min is used to curtail calculating V1 speeds from being so early that other limiting speeds, such as VMCG, are not considered. V1 min in some aircraft flight manuals is used in conjunction with speed increase calculations and does not apply to this discussion. Well, I hope the mental images were clear and the explanation concise. If not, I would suggest you get the book, Aircraft Performance, Myths and Methods, where the graphs are actually shown. The book is available through the CAVU website at www.cavucompanies.com. Select that you heard about it from the podcast and receive 20% off. Thanks for listening to this session of Pilot Points. If you want to be notified of new podcasts published to the site or wish to suggest a new topic, just click the appropriate link at the top of the page. I'm James Saval. Thanks for listening.